going to continue in the Halakhos of Mukta, and last week we spoke about the source of why Mukta was Nigzar, why Chazal made the Tzeira of Mukta, and we divided Mukta into four main categories, namely Kli Shemenachta Le'isur, a utensil which its primary purpose is for usage that would constitute an Isur in Shabbos, Mukta Bachas Kesar and Kis, something where its intrinsic value is of such that the owner would only use it for its designated use and not for anything else. Mukta Machnas Gufo is something which is not a utensil and just an object or something that we have no use purpose for. Is another type of mukta, and the third one is the bosses of davar also, something which is used to hold up something else. If you have, as we know, like a tray underneath candles, would be considered the bosses of davar also. We'll discuss each category as we go along. As for now, we're discussing kalishim nachalis. So just to, we've started on it last week, but just to recap, Kalisha Melachta Le'isur is a utensil where its primary purpose is for the sake of doing something which is also to do on Shabbos, therefore that gets it in the Kalisha Le'isur. So a typical example of that would be a hammer. A hammer is used for building. Building is also on Shabbos, therefore hammer is used for Melachta Le'isur. A pen is another example of something used for writing, say for on Shabbos is also, what about a pair of scissors? Generally speaking, scissors are used for cutting, which is a form of machatech. So again, scissors will be a klishim nachal isur. They don't have to be exclusively for klishim nachal isur. In fact, there are opinions that hold that a kli, which is exclusive for nachal isur, could be that it has a different definition. We'll discuss it another time. But we're talking about the standard klishim nachal isur, where it's generally multi-purpose, can be used for this and for that. You don't really mind. So even though your hammer is in your toolbox and 99% of the time you use it for Varim Hasurim, nevertheless, your hammer sometimes might be used for something else, like a typical example given would be to crack a nut, or to shell a nut, you'd use a hammer, so that would be a mutter use. So we decide on what is its primary use, what is its main use, what's the most common use out of such an item, and that's how we decide whether it's Klishim Nachal Le'isur or Klishim Nachal Le'heter. So a hammer where most of the time it's used for Isur, a pen which most of the time it's used for Isur, or a general scissors which most of the time it's used for Isur. Why do I say general scissors? Because sometimes you have scissors that you set aside for a mutadiki use. If you have a scissors that you set aside in your kitchen that you use for food or for food items, like cutting open a milk bag, your choira that has been set aside for something which is mutter to do on Shabbos, and therefore its primary use is something which is mutter and gets a hold of the din, gets considered as a klishim nachal le'heter. Klishim nachal le'heter, we'll discuss more later on, but klishim nachal le'heter, some just term it as something which is not mukter at all. It, in some ways, strictly speaking, is a form of mukta without restrictions. What I mean by if it's no restrictions and why is it mukta is because there are minor restrictions. We make a distinction between some things which are not mukta at all. For example, swarim, the dishes are not mukta at all. There's absolutely no restrictions. But the klishim nachal le'heter would have restrictions, as in you can only use it if you have a reason. But to remove it without any reason would be also. No, we'll discuss it when we get to that. So the question, it's not the Rav Shmuel Shabbos Halachos doesn't mention it as one of the categories of mukta, because generally we look at it as not mukta, but it does have slight restrictions. But back to what we're saying, klishim nachal isur, again, something which its primary usage is something which is also on Shabbos, and therefore it is categorized as such. Something which is used 50-50, in other words, you can't really decide what its main purpose is because it's pretty much used evenly for heter things and also things, then a lot of possible hold that you go, that's considered klishim nachal le'heter. It's only when it is the majority of uses that are also that you consider the klishim nachal le'heter. Now, what's the din of klishim nachal le'heter? Unlike other mukta, which is not to be used or moved on Shabbos, Krishnachtala Esor has a heter that you're allowed to move it or use it if it's for the Tzarech Gufa or the Tzarech Makoyim. If you need to use it, you need to use the Mukta, so then you may then use it. And as we pointed out, that Mukta, there's no Esor in touching Mukta as such. Yeah, the Esor is moving Mukta. The only issue of touching Mukta is something where, as a result, the touch is going to move. So we talk about an egg which is round. You touch an egg and it's going to roll. An egg, not stamen egg, because stamen eggs would not be Mukta. Because essentially raw eggs are edible, even though we don't usually eat them. So therefore we consider eggs as simply food, and therefore it's not Mukta. But an egg that was laid on Shabbos is no lad, and it would be considered Mukta. And touching such an egg would be also in Shabbos, because an egg is round and you touch it, it's going to roll. Therefore, touching in and of itself is not part of the Isra of Mukta. It's only touching that causes movement, because Mukta is also to move something. Mukta. But when you need that item and it falls under the category of the condition of Nakhla Isra, you may move that Mukta. That's the one. So we gave examples. You want to take a hammer to break open a nut. You want to use a matchstick as a toothpick, or you want to take a pin, a sewing needle or pin, and use it to take out a splinter in a way that's not going to cause bleeding, would be mutar on Shabbos to take such an item. The second heter is Tzarech Makoymai. If the item of mukta is in a place that interrupts your usage on Shabbos and you need that place, then you may move the mukta out of that place. You have left a pen on the table and you want to set the table and ask that no one can sit there because the pen is there, can't use that place. Or you left the door to your washing machine open, and the door to the washing machine is a Isur. The washing machine is made to wash laundry, which is something which is also on Shabbos. And therefore, the door is left open and you can't get through your Mepesa Sherot and get through to wherever you want to go. So you may close the door. So too, an oven is a klishe the Malachal Isur. And you left your chicken in the oven on purpose. You left it there to stay warm. And now, Friday night, you want to serve that chicken. You don't say, well, the oven's hot, I can't open it. You say that the door is in my way. I open the door. I take the chicken out. I serve the chicken. Now I need to go back into the kitchen. I need to use the kitchen. The oven door's in the way. I can close the oven door again. That is considered as Tzarech Makoymai. And then, what we left off last week in the tap in the middle, so we'll get back to it and discuss it again, is what happens if you have a choice? You have a choice between using something which is what we call Mukta or something which is not Mukta. You have a nutcracker in your drawer, you have a hammer in your toolbox, you need to crack a nut. What should you use? Can you choose, or must you dafka go for the nutcracker? The Mishavura brings two different places what appears to be a stira. On the one place it says you cannot use a priest of nutcracker if you have a priest heter available. In another place he tells us that you just do it like this, even if it's so-and-so, which is mashma, that you don't have to. And therefore the contemporary poskim say that it depends on the circumstances. And that is, if it is more difficult to use the heter item, whether it's more difficult to get hold of it or more difficult in the actual action of what you need to do, then you may use the mukta one. But if it's even, then you should not use the mukta one. So, if you have your hammer and your nutcracker and they're both easily available, then you don't, you may not use your hammer, rather you should use the nutcracker. But if you don't have a nutcracker, but your neighbor does, you are not mechuyav, says with Moshe Feinstein, you are not mechuyav to go upstairs to your neighbor or downstairs and knock on his door. And borrow his nutcracker, you can easily take your own hammer. That is considered the tircha that you're not mechuyav to do. So too, I heard personally from Rabbi Reuben in Harnof, Chavos Sefer of Ochel Shabbos, that he says that you can open a bag of mechuyav with a scissors. Although scissors generally, unless it's been designated as scissors for heterodical use, scissors is generally at least not for the Yisur. And here, a scissors might be just as easily available as a knife, but the resulting cut in your bag of milk, if you're opening up a bag of milk as we have here in Eretz Yisrael, then it is difficult to do it, to do a nice cut with a knife. It's going to doesn't go so easily, where scissors will come out a nice cut. Therefore, he says you may use a scissors in such a case. So, essentially, the way we look at it is depending on the tircha involved. They had a similar discussion in the contemporary poskim. If you have a cake and he observed it, and now you have leftover cake and you want to put it away. And the place you usually keep your cakes is in the oven. Not because the oven is off, but because that's a place that's available. Okay, now put my cake into the oven where I could really find another place for my cake. Why must I put it in the oven? So Rav Nissim Karelitz says that since you can put it in a closet, a cupboard, why should I be able to put it in the oven? Whereas the Olatzion of the Tzion Avashol says no, this is the place to put it. It's clear from Lafayette Israel that you need the place, therefore you may use. Going back to the milk case, see someone asked the question. Some address it. Cutting a hole in a bag of milk and Shabbos, a good discussion. Whether you're making a Pesach Yafeh and whether you're making a Kli out of the bag of milk and whether you can use the scissors. There's many, many details that pertain to cutting open a bag of milk and Shabbos, which would be a pretty much a shi on its own, and therefore I'm not going to go into the whole discussion. And there are those who say that it is not allowed. Rabbi Reuben, I heard personally from him in a shiur on a Shabbos afternoon, that he holds that you are not making a kli. A milk bag is a mustik, is considered a low-grade kli. Mustiki in terminology of Chazal is a broken kli that was glued together again with tar, and now it's a second-grade kli and has not much use, and therefore breaking such a kli on Shabbos is not a problem because it's not a real kli. So we deal with a lot of one-time kalim, such as a bag of milk, as a mustiki, and therefore you can break it open. You have to be careful about making a Pesach Yafeh. He held that there's no problem of opening a bag of milk on Shabbos with the scissors and cutting it in the regular way. And he says in the average Jewish family, a bag of milk does not last more than 24 hours, and therefore it has no chashivos. It's not going to be considered as a kli. There are other opinions. We're just quoting Rabbi Reuben on this particular point. The fact that he says you can use the scissors and not have to use a knife. So he said that if you have a choice of putting your cake in a cupboard or into the oven, he brought him a focus from Nissen Karenis, he says rather put it into the cupboard, and Rabbi Tzion Avashol says you can put it into the oven because it's a Klishim Lachter Israel, I need the place that we made it, and that's normal to put it there. An interesting discussion of whether considered Tzorech Gufoy is if you have a you're walking in the street and you find something on the street that is mukta, and it's a klishim lachter l'isur, not related to that type of mukta. And now you have an opportunity of a Shabbos Aveda. So do you say that it's considered tzorech gufoy? I need this item so that I can be mekayim the mitzvah. So there's a whole discussion about it as to, it would be very interesting. If you found your own hammer lying on the ground, you wouldn't be allowed to pick it up. Find your friend's hammer on the ground, then you would be able to pick it up because you've got a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. So there's a big discussion that basically speaking, we say that you should not pick it up. Rav Eliashiv actually says, I saw him quoted, but interestingly enough, he says, generally speaking, if I was out in the street and I found something of value, something which was ownerless or something of mine that was of value, I cannot pick it up. It's mukta. What can I do? I can sit there. And he said, sometimes a person will sit there because he doesn't want it to get lost. It's his wallet, it's got his credit card, and two bags of wood, and cash, and who knows what inside it. And if it gets stolen or lost, it's going to be a nice headache. And therefore, he sits next to the wallet and until Moshe Shabbos, and Moshe Shabbos, he takes it home. If you were to walk in the street and find your neighbor's wallet, your friend's wallet on the floor, and it's also got all his sensitive papers and everything that's going to be a pain in the neck, nevertheless, says Rav Eliashiv, if you're not mechuyev to sit there, ask din hashavas aveda. You want to be a tzaddik, we're not going to stop you. But ask the chiyuv of hashavas aveda, you're not mechuyev to sit there and watch the item from Moshe Shabbos. And his explanation is based on the fact that the mitzvah of hashavas aveda comes when you lift the item and actually take hold of it. But so long as you're walking past it, you might have a problem of resuch alayis alim, that you should not ignore it, but ask the mitzvah of of the assay of actually being mechuyev to protect someone else's money and give it back only applies once you have picked it up, and therefore it says you are not mechuyev to sit there and watch it. And so also an interesting story, if you want to say that a mitzvah is considered enough of a reason of tzorech gufoy in order to handle klishim lachter Israel on Shabbos, then you'd have an interesting story if a parent tells a child to handle mukta, for whatever sake it is, but the parent requires of the child to handle mukta. So you can say, and I don't mean a underage child, could even be an ovened, an adult child. So the child has the mitzvah kibud of the age to listen to the parent. So usually when we say, the Gemara gives an example, if a parent koyan tells a child koyan to go into the basic chorus, so we say, divrei harav, divrei atalmid, divrei rishonim. We've got a mitzvah in a Torah of a koyan, not allowed to get to Tommy. And you've got the mitzvah that he has to listen to his parent. But at the end of the day, the Torah halachas overrule what a parent requests. And if a parent requests of a child to do something which is forbidden, there's no mitzvah kibud av aim. So what about over here? Where a parent would request a child to pick up a klishim munatalis. Essentially, that would be also, and you should say, don't listen. But maybe you can add in the swara over here, that by the fact that the parent has requested it, makes it into a mitzvah. And now you have a usage for the mukta. You have a usage of being mekayim a mitzvah, so therefore it should be mukta to pick it up. An interesting question. And I saw that the general approach is to say that no, that does not make it, sorry, gufo, it does not change it into a usage that is mukta to pick it up. And therefore such a case would not be an exception. And that goes, that's the whole discussion as to Hashavas Aveda, whether you pick up mukta or not. So this would be one of the repercussions of how you deal with mukta, how you deal with mitzvah in relation to mukta. Essentially, we're going to say that does not create a sort of necessary use. It's a sort of government, it's a necessary use of an item. The use of the item does not have to be dafka for your own purpose. It could be for anybody else or anything else, such as you need it to feed your animals, you need to handle a tool in order to for the sake of helping an animal. That would also be considered as a tzarich on Shabbos for your neighbor, for your friend, for someone else. Doesn't have to be for yourself, it can be for anybody. That does create a tzarich gufay, and you may handle such an item on Shabbos. Those are examples of tzarich gufay, and we'll discuss a little bit of tzarich makom. You said that if you have mukta that is occupying a space that you need, then you may remove the mukta from that space in order to use the space. That's what's a tzarich makom. The simple example would be you have something on the table and you want to use that space so you can move it away. Not only that, if the mukta is on something that you want to use, for example, you have mukta on the table and you want to remove the tablecloth, you want to use the tablecloth for something else, so you can remove the mukta in order to get at the item underneath the mukta. Your hammer is sitting on your mishpacha magazine that you want to read in Shabbos afternoon. You can lift the hammer and take the magazine out. But if the fact that the mukta is lying there disturbs you for other reasons than not because you need the space, but because it's just disturbing, that is not enough of a reason to be considered as mukta machmas, that you can move it with tzarich makomai. So, for example, you left a mukta item on your table, and it is in a way that doesn't disturb your meal. For example, you have candlesticks on the table. If those who put candlesticks on the table, you have candlesticks on the table, you disturb you. Now, next to your candlesticks, someone left a pen. So, pen doesn't take up much space. It's right next to the candlesticks. It's not going to disturb you. You can eat at the table, but you're embarrassed. You're having guests over, and embarrassing that the pen is on the table. And you want to clear it off the table. That says Rav Noiv and Shmuel Shabbos also is not enough of a reason to be considered a tzarich makom. I don't need that space as such. I just need it for a different reason that I feel more comfortable. Comfortable is not considered tzarich makom. Now another din of mukta klishim nachal isur is once you have picked up the mukta, whether it is tzarich gufa or tzarich makom, once it is your hand and it got into your hand in a mutter way, meaning not that you picked it up by mistake, or you picked up something which was totally mukta. We're talking about a klishim nachal heter, the isur, that you had a heter to pick up. And now that it's in your hand, you did not have to drop it as soon as the purpose of you picking up has been reached. You picked up your hammer to crack open your nuts, or you took your scissors to cut open your milk. You do not have to drop that item as soon as you finished what you wanted to do with it. You may put it back wherever you wish. It doesn't have to be in its place, be somewhere else. You can, once you're holding it, you may continue to hold it until you've got put it back in a place that you are happy with. Obviously, once you put it down, you can't move it again. But you may, so the same thing, if you have left something on your table, in the space, or something like that, if you have the door of your washing machine open, like we gave an example, and you want to go through, you don't have to close halfway and squeeze past. Once you're pushing it closed all the way, as long as clicking it closed to the very end of an electronic circuitry on your washing machine, but otherwise there's no problem of moving something. Once you're moving it, you can move it till you're satisfied of where you want it and put it down. This is not a general rule in all muktzah. If you found muktzah in your hand, you put your hand in your pocket, you found and came out with trying to get a tissue, and you end up holding a note of money. Money is muktzah machmas gufoy. You should drop the money. If you can't say, well, now that I've got it in my hand, they'll put it down. There we say it's more correct to drop the money. There is a machlokas on that as well, but the money will be passed. Drop it. What's interesting is, I think I've mentioned this before, is if you have a case of a bris mila. A moel needs to use a utensil which is considered as muktzah machmas kesaron. A mila knife is not something that you're going to use anything else but mila, and therefore it is considered muktzah machmas kesaron kis, which doesn't have the head of tohu from the kohen moel, but you're allowed to do bris mila on Shabbos, and therefore is allowed to handle the knife for the sake of, until the bris mila, that knife is not considered muktzah because he needs it for now. It's part of what you're allowed to do. Just like you're allowed to do the mila, you're allowed to handle the mila knife. From his, once he's finished doing the mila, what should he do with the mila knife? Yesh, I mean that here he picked up a heter, even though it is not the typical case of a klishin lach in Israel. But he picked up a heter because this is the exception of Shabbos. Mamele, you can continue carrying it until you finish with it, and after he's done the mitzvah, he can go put it down in its place. Some say no, once the mitzvah is over, you need to discard it. And a lot of moelim are machmir on that they have a way that on Shabbos they do a bris mila, that they, as soon as they finish, they have a way of putting down the knife. They won't have to move again, will be out of the way, out of the place, out of sight. But there, again, also the whole machlokes is based on the fact that he actually picked it up. Not that he picked it up in Israel. He had a right to pick it up. Mutter things pick it up. So too, if someone is working for Hatzalah or something like that, and he has to move a candle or light or something like that on Shabbos, so at that moment when he's doing his job, everything's mutter for him. When it's finished, he should put it down. They don't say they should continue. Well, once it's holding his candle, he can kind of walk with it. No, he should put it down. Another point is what we call mechamo letzel. To move an item out of the sunshine and into the shade, which is an expression of Chazal, where you are moving an item in order to protect the item, not because you need it, not because you need the space, but the item itself is going to be damaged in some way if you leave it here, and if you move it away, you can protect it. Either it is exposed to the sun, it's getting ruined, you bring it indoors, or it's outdoors and can get stolen. Shema Yigon, if it's going to get stolen, and you want to bring it in. That is something which, for klishin lach le'isur, is awesome. You may not do that. So if you left your hammer out and it's raining and the hammer's going to rust, you may not take that hammer and bring it in just to avoid it getting damaged from the rain. That is considered as awesome. But you can find a use. It is permissible to find a use that is useful for the hammers and therefore saving it. Therefore, if you do have a hammer outside that doesn't get wet, rusty, and ruined, you may get yourself some nuts and crack them and thereby need to bring the hammer in, even though the whole reason you did it was only to save the hammer from being left outside, but one may do such a thing on Shabbos. What's also interesting is we discuss in Halacha doing something for something else, whether something else in itself is awesome. Let me give an example. I have a room full of muktzah, and I'm worried that the muktzah will get stolen, so I want to lock the room. But the lock is jammed, so I want to take a hammer and hammer the bolt into place. So generally speaking, I lock my front door at night, my bolt jams, I want to just give a nice tap with a hammer and get the bolt into place. That's considered a tzargufoy. I can go take my hammer and hammer the bolt into place without a problem. But here, what I'm doing is not because I'm looking after my own safety and therefore something I need, but rather it's something to protect something which is muktzah, something which is awesome. I have a tool that is muktzah and I don't want that to get stolen, so I want to hammer the bolt into place So you might think that since the purpose of taking the hammer is to protect something which in itself is asr on Shabbos, you're going to say no. What you're doing is locking the door. It's mutter on Shabbos. I'm interested in locking the door. The reason I'm interested in locking the door is to protect something that's mutter, that's not relevant, and therefore I can take the hammer to go help lock the door, even if it's to protect something which is mutter. Another interesting halacha is we have a rule, is called hasmona lav, certain exceptions to hekdesh, but generally speaking in halacha we say that when something has been designated for a certain use, it doesn't take on the status of the designation until it's actually being used as such. The designation alone does not give it a status. I'll give an example. A bathroom is a place that you should not daven in. It is a makom mutur. But you bought a new apartment or you renovated and you built a new bathroom, and the bathroom has never been used. You know for sure it has never been used for anything. The toilet has been freshly installed, comes straight, it's not in second hand, straight from the ceramic store, has never been used, even though the room has been designated as a bathroom. But so long as it's never been used even once, then it is not considered a bathroom. It sounds very strange. You can actually walk into a bathroom, say a bracha, a daven, and all the rest, because it has not got the status of a bathroom until it's actually been used once for that purpose. The same thing when it comes to a tashmit mitzvah. If you have a lulav that you want to use for a mitzvah, so we say that if a mitzvah, you don't have to do the zoyin for them, when you finish with Yom Tov, your lulav, you can throw it away. The minute is not for the minute to try to use it for another mitzvah, but I'm saying, halakhically, strictly speaking, a tashmit mitzvah you can discard as long as it's not done in a bizoyan. You have an old pair of tzitzis, you can throw it in the garbage as long as you have wrapped it up in a way that it will not become a bozoi. But if you have tzitzis that you've never worn, never made a bracha on them, then even though you pay good money and made lishma, but they're not being used for the mitzvah, they don't have the designation as tashmit mitzvah, and if for whatever reason you want to throw them away, there's no problem with that moment. So, the same thing applies generally, not totally, but for mukta also. If I have an item where I have never used it, so does it get a status of a kli, of the normal mukta for that item? So here I saw that Novak brings, he divides it into two categories. Those items which are very clear what their final designation is for, that even before you've used it, it will be considered as a kli shenlav in Israel. For example, a pen. Every pen is used for writing. You don't buy pens to be a paperweight. You don't buy pens to scratch your back. You buy pens to write with. The fact that you found other uses for your pen later on will be a separate story, but that is what a pen is made for. That is what a hammer is made for. Those things are kli shenlav in Israel, even if you actually never went to put a nail in a piece of wood. It is considered as a kli shenlav in Israel. However, some things where their usage is not so clear what they're going to be used for in the future, and therefore depends on how you're going to use it. Perhaps you could say a scissors. Some scissors are designated for more typical uses. And until you've not used it for something, also the example he brings there is a kiss lemois. Now, I don't think he says when he brings it in the Shmir Shabbos at the top, he uses the word anatu. When he talks about in the footnotes, he uses often kiss lemois. So, what's the difference between the two? An anatu is a wallet where it is made a place for notes, a place for coins, a place for credit cards, all this is a mukta. You put it in your wallet, it's a mukta. The kiss in the olden days was a bag, money bag, where you could use it to bring your sandwiches to work, or you could use it as your money bag. So he's put his money inside it. We don't know what the final purpose of this bag is. It might just be to carry his dirty tissues around, I don't know. But therefore, I'm surprised that if he uses the Lashon Arniki, to me, quite clear that it's designated for mukta, but where the example brings the bottom is a kit shamayis. Kit shamayis, you can understand, they used it as a fluff bag with a tie string at the top that you close. It could be a multi-purpose bag. Once you put money in it, again, it gets your moist. But until then, not. So, what does this mean? We were saying that although, in strictly speaking, halacha, hasmona lav milsa, that as long as it's something that's been designated, it is not termed that way until it's actually been used, like we said, the bathroom, until it's been used, it's not a place that you can't make a bracha in. Nevertheless, the Gabi Mukta, we say that if it's very clear that its designation is something that's author, then it is already considered Yishim Nachum Isser even before you use it for the first time. So your hammer and your pen and your needle that you use for sewing are all considered as Kafil Isser. Something where its use is a little bit more ambiguous. So before it's been used, we'll say that it's considered as Yishim Nachum Isser. And an interesting example is, it brings an example where you can give a candlestick as a gift in Shabbos before it's ever been used. I find it a little interesting because what else do you use a candlestick for than to light candles? But it could be that they, no, I don't want to say much. That's all the example discussed. I'm not sure what to say about it. Okay, I see we're almost finished in time. I wanted to give a whole bunch of examples, and maybe I'll leave that for next week, and we'll have next week we'll discuss examples with practical how to understand. I'll give one example just to show the difference between looking at this way, looking at that way, is your cell phone. It's your cell phone of Kishim Nachal Es, the heter of Kishim Nachal Isu. What's the thought that it might be not Mukta? The cell phone has a clock on it. And there's some people who don't even wear a wristwatch and wear the hydrogen over time and look at the cell phone. The cell phone has two uses, either as a phone or as a watch. If it's a watch, it should be Mukta. If it's a cell phone, it should be also. So quite clearly, it's a cell phone where its main use is the phone, and that will be used, it will be considered as a Kishim Nachal Es. Whereas the other way around, if you have a watch that has an alarm clock on it, so the alarm clock might be considered as a davar asur, but the watch itself is a davar mutar. The main purpose of the watch is to tell the time, not as the alarm, which is a secondary use that will be designated as Kishim Nachal the heter. So we'll, next week we'll go into examples. There's no end to them, but we'll try and cover a nice amount of them and discuss them.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I just apologize if we cut out it.
And now, if you just have a pen on a table, like you said, it's embarrassing. But you won't really just do a shinoi. Can you remove it with a shinoi?
So you can move it in the ways that are mutter to move mutter, as in tuto alidei davar acher or alidei grufa, which means that you could tilt the table and let it roll off and then kick it, or you could use your elbow instead of using your hand. That would be a heter of all moving all types of mukta. Hopefully we'll discuss in the future with some focus on it, but basically speaking, the answer is...
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Lift the tablecloths. Lift the tablecloths and shuck it down.
That would also be mutter.
Okay.
Fine. I wish everybody a wonderful day.